Welcome to the First Baptist Church Podcast, a ministry of First Baptist Church in Cumming, Georgia. To find out more about FBC Cumming, please visit us online at fbccumming.org.
Well, good morning, church. I hope that you are all enjoying your Labor Day weekend thus far. If you have a copy of God's Word, I would love to invite you to join me in Ephesians chapter 3. And over the past few weeks, we have been learning through God's Word, specifically in Ephesians, what it means to be rooted in Christ. And this weekend, one of God's greatest gifts to us, college football, returned. Amen. Yeah. And what college football does, at the very least for me, is it reminds me how earthly things can really determine my mood and ruin my weekends. And so what's so much more valuable, what has so much eternal weight, is God's word. And so if you're able, please join me and stand in the honor of the reading of God's word. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says this. He says, "For this reason I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory." You may be seated. And while you do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for allowing us to gather together around your word. In these moments, we ask that you give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to experience your word in a new and a fresh way. And then God, we ask you that you give us wisdom so that as we leave this place, we can take what we've learned and apply it to our lives. Now we pray this all in your holy and most precious name. Amen. So as you're reading throughout the book of Ephesians, you come across chapter 3, where he starts by saying, "For this reason I, Paul." And then in verse 14, it starts the same way, where he says, "For this reason." And so essentially what's happening in the section we're looking at today is Paul starts a train of thought and then absolutely loses it and goes down a completely different direction. Now, for us, we call that chasing a rabbit trail or ADHD. But for Paul, what this is the divine word of God. I also heard that it is a holy interruption. Because of the Holy Spirit, we have a better understanding of the big picture of what God is doing, what he did way back when he created everything, what he did through the life of Jesus, and what he continues to do today. And Paul gives us a glimpse of that today. And he uses a phrase in there called the mystery of Christ. Now, I don't know about you, when I hear that word mystery, often my mind goes to the unknown. It goes to TV shows that are centered around crimes and people are trying to figure it out and no one knows what's going on until the end. It goes to Halloween, where there's just this mysterious presence, a spooky presence. And essentially, it's just mysteries are unknown to us. And so some of us are more drawn to that. Some of us, like me, run as far away from that as possible. But this mystery that Paul's talking about comes from that Greek word, mysterion. And what this word means is it is a divine truth that was hidden. And so it's a divine truth that transcends what we can understand, what we can comprehend, But it doesn't stop there. This mystery that Paul's talking about is now revealed by God. And so what Paul says here is that this thing that was given, this thing that was revealed to him for generations and generations leading up to Paul, nobody knew it. Nobody understood it. Nobody could grasp what this was. But now, because of God, because he enlightened Paul and some of the other prophets and apostles in that day, now we have an understanding of what they're talking about. And so what this mystery is, according to Paul in verse 6, is that the Gentiles, so the ones who weren't Jewish, are a part of the family of God. What he's essentially saying here is that the Jewish people and the Gentiles have the same access to the same gospel that can change people's eternities. And to us, I mean, we've known this our whole lives, and so we can just kind of shrug it off. But to them, this sent shockwaves through their church. This was Jewish people were having to say, we have to share a space with them. Gentile people had to change their cultures so that they could sit with Jewish people, and it was all a mess. But what Paul is saying here is that Jews and Gentiles are a part of the same family, and that family is only made possible because of the work of Jesus in their lives. In fact, in Galatians 3, another letter that Paul wrote, he says that there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. What Paul isn't saying here is that Jesus got rid of all of our differences. No, they're still here. But what he is saying is that Jesus ushered in a new kingdom. And a part of this new kingdom, again, because of the saving work of Jesus, is a new humanity. And this new humanity includes Jewish people and Gentiles to create one body. And this is a supernatural process. And as we're going to continue reading in just a minute, it is used for a supernatural purpose that God has in mind. And so what do we do with this in 21st century? Well, I think there are three things that we can learn from this. And the first thing about this mystery is that we are given a new perspective because of it. I love how Paul starts this section because he says that I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus. So if you don't know any context of Ephesians, Paul is writing it to the church of Ephesus, but he's writing from being in house arrest in Rome. And if you know the story of Paul, you know that he went through a little different levels of persecution. He was in jail. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten. And yet what he says here is he says, I am a prisoner of Christ Jesus. That is important because what he could have said was, I am a prisoner of Rome. Or he could have said, I am a prisoner of Caesar. Or what I probably would have said is, I'm a prisoner of an unfair, unjust system. But what he doesn't say is any of that. And what he says and what he acknowledges is that he is in the situation he is in because of God's work. And when he does that, it changes the perspective of the why behind him being in there. And this is important for us to understand too, because to my knowledge, not many of us have ever been thrown in prison for our faith, but we deal with heavy stuff. We deal with things in our lives that just feel weighty and feel like they're bondage and they're holding us down. We deal with circumstances that just don't make sense. A lot of people in our congregation are going through health scares right now. Or there are no family members that are going through health situations that just don't make sense. People in our congregation, we're dealing with relational conflicts. We're dealing with hard times in our families and with our friends. We're dealing with hard times that don't make sense with our work and in our neighborhoods and in our schools. And yet what Paul says here, even though he is in bondage, is that he is first a prisoner of Christ. And so when we take that heart posture, we begin to understand that there is purpose behind our suffering. And because of Paul's suffering, We now have four letters in the New Testament that I'm very grateful for that we might not have had otherwise. And so when we go through different situations, we can do it with confidence because God is always positioning his people to advance his purpose. And so he is first a prisoner of Christ, but he also says in verse 2, he talks about how he is a steward of God's grace. This is important. This is a very important thing for us to understand because what Paul didn't do in this moment is spend many, many years thinking his way to a solution and then finally came to the conclusion of this mystery. No. God revealed this mystery to Paul. God opened Paul's eyes so that he could see what God was really doing. And when we understand that we're stewards, not inventors, then it changes what we do with the thing. I think of Chick-fil-A, the Lord's chicken, and you think of Truett Cathy many, many years ago, created a concept. He created an idea. He created what Chick-fil-A is that we know of today. And essentially what he did is he created a culture. When you go to Chick-fil-A, you're expecting good customer service. You're expecting good, consistent food. And you're expecting just to have a good overall experience. Now, Truett Cathy isn't at every single Chick-fil-A, is he? No. What they do is they hire, most of the time, a lot of students to come operate and run this Chick-fil-A. Now, these students aren't the ones dictating how things are done, but they are an important piece of the culture of Chick-fil-A moving forward. And in the same way, God has created his purpose, his plan, and he invites us to be a part of it as stewards. Now, I love back, if you go back to the church of Ephesus around that time, there were several religions that were based around these mysteries that a few people came to crack or to understand. In a lot of ways, it's like cults, what we know of today, where you have a few people who figured it out. And so what do? They isolate themselves. But that's not what Paul does here. See, Paul recognizes that he was given the solution. He was given this mystery. And so not for him to take this prideful posture, but for him to actually lower himself below other people because he acknowledges that he doesn't deserve it either, which is a product of God's grace. And so with this mystery, we have new identity and we recognize that we're stewards. And so everything in our life changes, our perspectives change, but it's not just the perspectives. From that, purpose flows. I love in verse 10, Paul says that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. So what Paul is saying here is that God is revealing his plan, his wisdom, and even the angels, the spiritual beings that exist in the heavenly realm, a place that we can't even comprehend, even the angels are watching and marveling what God is doing. Even the angels are watching and asking, what is God going to do next? How is he going to advance this mission? But notice who Paul says this wisdom is being made known through. He says it's being made known through the church. So in God's infinite wisdom, in his sovereignty, long ago, he decided that his wisdom was going to be made known through what we are a part of as the church. And so what I think we need to understand first and foremost is the privilege that it is to even be a part of this. Like God has incredible plans for the capital C church, and FBC Coming gets to be a part of that kingdom advancing mission. And so in God's plan, he's bringing together all of us in one body to be unified so that other people see that unity and want to be a part of it. And so God's heartbeat for the church has always been unity. And we see that in John chapter 17, when Jesus was praying And he said, my prayer is not for them alone. So he was praying for his disciples. Now he's praying for us. He says, I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, talking about us, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. And so Jesus died on the cross so that we could be unified with him, but he also died on the cross so that we can be unified with other people. And through this supernatural unity, people from the outside are going to take notice and want to be a part of this. And so as the church, that puts a little bit of a responsibility on us. Because if we know that God has great plans through our unity, then we also know that the enemy would do anything in his power to break up that unity. And so we have to do everything in our power to protect the unity that God has given us so that the unity is a tool. And how we do that, one is we watch ourselves. It's so easy to be disunifying. It's so easy to do things that break apart the church body, even when we don't realize it. Some of those things that come to my mind, number one, gossip. Man, it is so easy. It is so easy to slander. It's so easy to gossip when they're not in the room and can't defend themselves. It's just so easy. It just comes naturally. The second thing comes to mind are complaining. Man, it's like a second language. It comes natural to us to want to complain. What God wants is for people to trust the church leadership. What God wants is for people to trust that he is working, he is moving in our church, and complaining shows the opposite of that. Complaining shows we don't trust that, and it breeds and sows disunity. Another thing that comes to mind are cliques. It is so easy to take what we have been given here at First Baptist, to find a small group of people, and then to want to protect it at all costs. We see this with students a lot, and it's known to be a student problem, but the more I spend time with them, the more I see that they often get it from their parents as much as anybody. Because what we do is we see that God has given us a gift, which is community, and we want to protect it and keep people out that could also benefit from it. We want to keep the ones who get on our nerves out of it. We want to keep lost people out of it because we want to keep the purity and the holiness of it. But what we have to understand is that those groups, the groups that we do here at First Baptist, aren't meant just for our benefit. They're meant to be a tool to advance the kingdom of God. God has gifted us with discipleship. God has gifted us with groups so that, yes, we can be built up, but also so that we can go out. And so if we're going to be serious about this, we have to be serious about unity. And so our perspectives change. Our purpose shifts. And then third and finally, this mystery gives us power. I love this because sometimes it does kind of feel like we're on an island. Sometimes it does kind of feel like we are left to figure it out on our own. But that's not a biblical concept. What Paul says in verse 11, going into verse 12, he says, in Christ Jesus, our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. And so because of our faith in Jesus, because of the saving relationship that we have with him, that includes access to him. Meaning that when we give our lives to Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes upon us and we are given this supernatural power to do what God created us to do. He gives us the ability to have the right mindset. He gives us the ability to be unified with each other. He gives us that because we have direct access to him. And because of that direct access, we have confidence to go into the world and to share what God has given us. So we have access, which leads to boldness and confidence. I think of a story that I heard this past week of something that happened at North Georgia. And this student grew up in a Muslim household. And this student somewhere along the way started getting bits and pieces of Christianity, which led them into a church. And because of their experience in a church, they wanted more. They wanted to know more about Jesus. They wanted to know more about what makes the church the church. And somewhere along the way, this student's parents, who are Muslim, got wind of what they were doing and told them that if they continued down this path, that they would be cut off from the family. Now, from a world perspective, it makes absolutely zero sense for this student to keep following Jesus. They have their future to think of. They have their college they have to pay for. They have their social standing with their families to think through. But somewhere along the way, because of God's power that he is displaying around the world, this student this past week gave their lives to Jesus. And yeah, that deserves a round of applause. But you see, this story from a worldly perspective makes no sense. But when we think about the mystery of Christ that is constantly working, that is constantly advancing the mission in the kingdom of God, it makes perfect sense. And our role in this kingdom is to be obedient. See, this student came to North Georgia for Lord knows what reason. This student stepped into the BCM for Lord knows what reason. But when she stepped in, it was up to the students who make up the church to share what they have been given with them. And so what we know is that God is working. What we know is that God is moving and he is orchestrating things that can often seem like a mystery to us. And yet, what we also know is that we have a role to play in this mystery. And that role is to walk obediently with Jesus, number one, to walk with Jesus, and then to be obedient in the opportunities that God presents to us. And when we do that, the kingdom advances. But if you know the story of Scripture, you read from Genesis to Revelation. In the Old Testament, when the Israelites had a promise, they oftentimes messed up like we do. And yet God's promise, his faithfulness continued. And so what we know about Scripture is that God is going to accomplish his mission. That God, one day, according to Revelation 7, every nation, every tribe, every tongue will be in the throne room. So we know God is going to do it. And so the question isn't if he's going to do it. The question is are we going to be a part of the kingdom advancing mission? And I believe that that invitation is extended to every single person in this room. What I love about the story of Paul, and he talks about in verse 7, he talks about how he was the least of these. Paul was someone who killed Christians. In the moment that Jesus encountered him, he was actually on the way to kill Christians. And yet God took somebody like Paul to advance his kingdom. And I believe that God is willing and able to take this body of believers to continue to advance the mission. And all we have to do is put our yes on the table and be obedient to what he has given us. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, God, you are holy and perfect and righteous. God, you sit above it all, and yet you offer us an intimate relationship with you. God, I pray that in these moments, as we just opened your word, God, I pray that you continue to remind us, God, that somehow, some way, through the mystery of Christ, God, we have a role to play. And as we continue to look at what it means to be rooted in Christ, God, I pray that you just continue to make it abundantly clear so that we know what our practical next steps are. God, we thank you for choosing us. We thank you for loving us. And we thank you for giving us this opportunity. We pray this all in your name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the podcast from First Baptist Church in Cumming, Georgia. To learn more about First Baptist Cumming, visit us online at fbccoming.org.